Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how this ministry is impacting your life. So if you would please take a moment and send us your story to mystory@oceansunite.com. And if you'd like to partner with this ministry financially, you can do that at oceansunite.com and select the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining in, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Amen. So it's great to be with you all this evening. And I had a plan that has not worked out. Amen. So, you know, it's interesting because I heard Pastor Mark speak on this that I'm going to minister to you this evening. And, you know, it was one of those things where I just knew I had to release this word to you this evening, just purely because of where we are prophetically as the body of Christ as a whole, not only here in the United States or in Vero Beach, but actually everywhere. Amen. And so I've spoken briefly about this just to you a little bit, specifically when I spoke to you about Ephesians 4 from verse number 7, where it speaks about the gifts of Christ being released to the earth that bring grace, the pastor, the prophet, the teacher, evangelist. I don't want to go into all of that tonight because I've taught on it. I'd like you to go and get the tape. In fact, if you go back, I think it was in 2016, I did a whole teaching on it. I will be teaching on it again in the e-courses coming up next year, because we're going to be making some additions and some changes to increase the teachings and make sure that, you know, you guys know exactly who we are, what you stand for, and what you're a part of. Amen. Yes. It's important, amen, that you align yourself with the ministry and the call of God here at this church and the vision that God has given us as a body corporately to be able to go and do the work of the ministry. Amen. Amen. It doesn't help that we look at that speaker over there and most of us think that it's black, but you think it's green. Amen. What I'm trying to say is if we don't agree, we cannot work together. Amen. So it's important that we do that. So I want to minister this word to you tonight because I feel very important that it's as I said, what God is busy doing. But the key here this evening is really what God has released on this planet recently over the last few years, maybe more than just a few years, but, you know, corporately over the years, God has been releasing the different gifts to the body of Christ, restoring the gifts which were once in place right at the beginning, which has now been restored. The final gift needing to be restored is the apostolic gift to the body. And you'll understand why that's so important, hopefully, by the end of the teaching today. We are very blessed as a congregation that we submit to a pastor that I believe with all my heart is a true apostle, even though he doesn't call himself an apostle. But Pastor Harold is most certainly an apostle. He's planted hundreds of churches and, you know, has many ministries underneath him. But besides that, it's not just that. There's so much more that goes into it, which I'll show you this evening. So, guys, every Sunday night is different. Last Sunday night, I ministered a word that actually took me by surprise because it kind of went in the direction that I didn't expect it to go, but it was great. Amen. We saw God really move powerfully. But what I want to talk to you tonight about is becoming a chosen vessel, because the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. And what it takes to become a chosen vessel where God will actually take you into your election, what He's called you to be. Now, I've spoken many times about destiny and purpose, and I hope that that has encouraged you. And we'll continue to speak about destiny and purpose because it's very important for us as believers to grasp the call of God and the purposes and plans that He has for us. But there does come a time in every believer's walk where that plan and the purposes and the preparation, where you step into your election. In other words, what God truly has allotted for you. And when I speak about this, I speak about it not only in the individual capacity, but also as the church. Because as the church develops and grows into the perfect man, before Jesus comes and collects His bride without spot or blemish, a perfect bride. Amen. So that bride will be fulfilled into the perfect man and have been walking in the fullness of what Christ has released on this earth. And we will see the church operating like never before. I'm going to say that again, and maybe someone will get a little bit excited. We will see the church operating like never before. Never before. Never before. Not even right in the beginning has it been like it will be in the very last of the last days, which I believe we have stepped into. I believe we've stepped into the last days. I don't know how long that is. It may be 500 years. It may be 20 years. It may be 2 years. I don't know. But I know that we're in that last season of time. And so the body of Christ has been prepared and is ready for the season. And I love it because I know the enemy can't stand it. Because he knows God's up to something. He knows that God is about to release something on the planet. And it's like I can sense the fear of the enemy. As he hears, listen to me, as he hears the church coming. Stepping into it. You see, he's been able to convince us that we're powerless. He's been able to convince us that we'll never be anything more than what, just whatever. The gifts have ceased. The movements of the Spirit have ceased. The Holy Spirit no longer manifests itself. And, you know, we get concerned about religious things like titles and stuff like that. It's ridiculous. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be a bride that walks with authority and power. I want to be a bride that is married to my King who has given me authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Yes. Yes, I said all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the enemy. The word there that's used when he says he's given you power is actually the word authority. That word is the word exousia, which speaks of dominion. He's given us dominion and authority over all the dunamis of the enemy. So the little bit of explosive power that the enemy has, God has given us power and authority over that. But the problem is, if you don't step into your election, if you don't follow the procedures, many times we operate illegitimately without authority that has either been delegated to us or given to us by grace, and only by grace. And this is what most people don't understand. You see, you can study for 50 years, 25 years, 30 years, it doesn't matter. The reality is when God puts you or elects you to be in a position of authority to lead and to cause that grace to come to you that is then released to the body of Christ, it is grace. It's a grace gift. It is not something that you can earn. Amen. So in other words, it is something that he decides. But before you step into it, there is a process. That whether we like it or not, and to be honest with you, it's not fun. We have to go through that process. Unfortunately, some of us do things to ourselves or allow ourselves to go a certain way where the path may have been so long, it's now so long. So it takes a little bit longer. The Bible speaks of the permissive will, the perfect will, the good will of God. There are three different wills of God that you can walk in. How many of you want to walk in the perfect will of God? Amen. But that's not my teaching. So let's go to Acts number 9, and we're going to talk about a specific individual this evening. His name was Saul of Tarsus. And you'll know him better as Paul, because that's who he became. And let's take a look at the story. Acts number 9, verse number 1. Are you guys okay? I don't know why I have to preach this tonight, but I do. Amen? You know, one of the things that Pastor Mark said to me once is he said, they will never understand you. And I looked at him and I thought, what are you talking about? He said, not even your wife will understand you. I don't even understand myself. So I don't expect you to understand me and why I do these things. I don't know. Amen. I just follow what I believe the Lord is leading me to do. And sometimes I drive here and I'm thinking to myself, now, God, what on earth are you going to make me do this evening? You know, so amen. But let's just, you know, the fact of the matter is there's certain things that I believe very strongly in. And one of those things is decreeing and speaking a word. So the word must be released over you for God to take us to the place of election. Is that okay? Of election. Amen. Amen. Let me stop speaking. Let's just get into the word. Then Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So Saul at the time was very aggressive against the church of Jesus Christ and actually wanted to bring them bound and was really breathing all kinds of evil intent against Christians and the church. And if you study the story of Timothy, the impression that you get is that he was watching and it was murderous intent against the church. He really got to the place, and that's what religion will do to you, is it will make you angry. It makes you angry. So for example, while Timothy is busy Stephen, while Stephen is busy speaking all kinds of truth and releasing truth, what's busy happening is the religious are getting so angry they can't contain themselves because they can't handle the words that are coming out of his mouth, and all they want to do is kill him. And that's what the religious will do when the Holy Spirit begins to move. They will just want to suffocate you, stop you. So Paul was one of those. He wanted to stop them. He couldn't handle it. The religion inside of him, the law was just absolutely overwhelming him. He didn't believe that this Jesus was the Christ. He couldn't handle it. In verse number 3, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly... The word suddenly is a very powerful word, and here's the reality that many of you, even in this room tonight, have had this experience, a suddenly with Jesus, when maybe you were not following him, or maybe you were lost, or you were not walking with him, and suddenly something happened one night in church, or one morning, or someone was in your house, and something happened where all of a sudden, your life suddenly changed. And a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Isn't that funny? Who are you, Lord? Capital L. In other words, he knew exactly who he was. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And that describes how already God had been busy pulling at Saul's heart. And already he had already been feeling that something was different, but the religion in him was so intense and so strong that he was doing his best to reject the Holy Spirit pulling on his heart. And so many of us are like that. But when it comes to the call of God on your life, there will come a time where God will encounter you in a supernatural way, and there's nothing you can do about it. So the best thing to do at that point is not kick against the goads. Amen. It's interesting just taking a look at verse number 4. When the Lord appears to him, he falls on the ground. And we worry about falling on the ground. We worry about when people fall down. Because the presence or the power of the presence or the Spirit of God comes upon them, touches them, and they fall down. And that's now the end of the world. And what is that? And why is that happening? And how can we leave them? Well, we leave them because maybe God is busy with them. Amen. So don't get upset when you see someone get prayed for and they go down. I don't particularly like the word slain in the spirit. I kind of think it's a little bit not nice. But the fact is, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, sometimes that power or that presence is so overwhelming that you just can't stay on your feet anymore. So you fall down on the ground. Amen. If you haven't had that experience, it's wonderful. Amen. Amen. Why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling. There's another thing that happens to you sometimes when the presence or the power of God comes upon you. You begin to shake. You begin to tremble. Now, don't for one second think I know that there isn't people who shake for nothing. sometimes they shake because they want to shake. But when the presence or the power of God comes on you so strong that you shake on the inside, you don't even shake on the outside. I know what that's like. We had one service one night where the power of God or the glory of God, whatever, the presence was so thick in this place that I was shaking inside and outside I was not shaking. But I could literally feel my bones shaking on the inside. Or maybe it was my spirit. I don't know. But something was shaking on the inside of me. And I could feel it literally vibrating on the inside of me. So when God's power or presence comes, don't expect the manifestation to be something that you are necessarily familiar or comfortable with. It may be a little unusual. But remember one thing. That God never corrects himself. So yes, there can be manifestations and everything, but God operates in a flow. It's like a river. It's like a movement. That's why I have music playing. I thought about this a little bit. Let me just do a little rabbit run here. It was very interesting. Brad Huddleston was talking about how we can't multitask. And he was saying that, you know, your mind can only concentrate on one thing at a time. Well, the music's not for your mind. The music is for your spirit. Amen. So the music gets my spirit going. It's got nothing to do with my mind. To be honest with you, I can hear her now because I'm thinking about it. But when she's playing, the majority of the time, I actually don't even hear her. But let her stop. Which happened one night, by the way, while I was prophesying over somebody over here. I was busy prophesying and it was really great. I was having an incredible prophetic visions and all kinds of stuff. And then I'm busy going and she started singing or something, or she stopped singing. I can't remember. And as she did it, immediately the prophetic just cut off. And I turned around and I looked at her and I said, "What did you do?" See, so it's got nothing to do with my conscious mind. It's actually right here in my spirit. That's for free. Amen. My point is, don't expect, because you're unfamiliar with, you know, don't expect it to be necessarily what you're used to, but be open to it. Remember what the Bible says, you'll know them by their fruit. Have a look at the fruit. Are people's lives changing? Listen, I hate speaking about other churches, but I don't want to be nowhere where it's dead. Where God isn't moving, where people are ashamed to lift their hands and worship Him. Have you read your Bible? I mean, David was a fanatic in front of Jesus, in front of God. He would get in the streets and dance to the point where his wife literally insulted him. So, why do we want to bring a church to a place where we have no life, where we have no movement, where we just... Well, I can tell you that it's not going to be like that for long. It's going to change. Because in this hour... I can literally see a sleeping spirit. A spirit that is asleep. I'm speaking and their spirits cannot receive because their spirit is asleep. Good people, just a sleeping spirit. Amen. Anyway, amen. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city. You will be told what you must do." So he has this powerful encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and gets told to go into the city. Now watch. It's very interesting because you would kind of think that to have an encounter like that, why doesn't Jesus just tell him everything that's going to happen? Why doesn't the Lord just say, "Listen, Paul, this is what you're going to do. This is where you're going to go. This is how it's going to happen. Just submit to that and then, you know, just go." But he doesn't do that. Because you see, the Lord Jesus always wants to use his body to confirm his word. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And I love this because it doesn't say there was a certain prophet. It doesn't say there was a great apostle. It just says a disciple. A certain disciple. Someone who was praying. Someone who was seeking God. Someone who was hungry and thirsty for more of the Lord. That was just listening, just obedient. And I love this because watch. And to him the Lord said in a vision. So Ananias has a vision. So now God is busy opening his eyes and he has a vision. Now watch, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." Now it's incredible because in this vision, he gets a street name. He gets told what Saul is busy doing. I mean, this is a vision that is extremely powerful. The point I'm trying to make is don't underestimate what God can do through you as a disciple. Don't be overwhelmed and impressed by someone using street names or something like that. Amen. It's a gift. It's the Holy Spirit using you. It's the Holy Spirit moving through us. Amen. But it's awesome because it's just a disciple. I mean, I don't know about you, but this is some pretty heavy stuff here. I mean, you know, the Lord comes to you, gives you the name of the street, tells you about where you need to go, shows you that he's busy praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. So he's telling him that Paul has actually had a vision of him coming and restoring his sight to him. Pretty awesome. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." In other words, he's busy saying, "Listen, are you crazy?" With respectfully, you know, "Are you crazy? Because I really don't want to go. I really, really don't want to go to this guy because he is a murderer. He wants to kill the Christians. He wants to lock us up." So it's almost kind of like he's doubting the vision. What you need to understand is that when God calls you to do something, it's not always going to be easy. It may not be as easy as what you think. Amen. But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." Now it's incredible because if you look at the vision and what Jesus is busy saying to him, he actually gives you the sequence of Paul's ministry: Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. That's why when God gives you a word, pay careful attention to what he's saying. Because it might be the subtleties of the word that actually reveal exactly what God is wanting to do in your life. It's extremely powerful. Amen. Amen. Now, I also want to say this because it's important. God is speaking to a man in a vision to go and give a message. That message does not come out of the Bible. So God can speak outside of the Bible. Of course, nothing can contradict the word. But how can you argue with it? He's giving Ananias a message to go give to Paul. So to suggest for 1 second that God doesn't speak anymore would be absolutely ridiculous. Amen. God still speaks now and will still use you to speak to people. He'll never contradict his word. It can never go against his word. That is his final authority. But he's still speaking even today. Amen. Amen. "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, I don't know about you, but man, when I got my first prophetic word about my destiny, I'm so glad God didn't tell me about all the things I'd have to go through. Because I remember as a young Christian being so passionate and zealous and so desperately desiring for God to confirm through somebody what He'd already put in my heart. He'd already spoken to me about my destiny and my purpose. He'd already showed me that I would go and minister and all this stuff. But I needed confirmation. But I'm so glad that when He came to me, He didn't show me all that I would suffer. He came and told me that you will do this and you will be this and you will be that and you'll do great and da 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 da. And it was so awesome. And I thought, yes, this is great. Little did I know what I would have to go through to get to the place where God said, now is the time. I want you to step into what I have for you. Amen. Now watch. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it's so incredible that he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit when he encountered Jesus. He waited. Jesus, the Lord made him wait for a man to get to him to lay his hands on him so that he could receive the Holy Spirit. Because this would be the primary way that the Holy Spirit is given throughout the book of Acts and now still today. Amen. Somebody better say amen. I didn't say it. It's in the Bible. Why? Because He uses His body. He uses His body. It's so powerful. I don't know why we get upset about it. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food and he was strengthened, then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now, let's stop there for a minute. This is Acts chapter number 9. And this was the time where he was given his destiny. He was given his purpose. And the Bible says that immediately he started going out. In other words, he became so full and so passionate about Jesus that he couldn't contain himself. He had to go out there and begin to do something. So he did. He spent some time with Ananias. And if you study his story and his life, you'll find that he spent many years going and doing some work, some good works. But at this point, it still took many years before the Lord had chosen him to step into what he had called him to do. Many of us believe that Saul or Paul stepped into his purpose that very next day. No, it's not true. It took years of preparation. In fact, the scholars will tell you it was at least 14 to 15 years before he really stepped into the perfect will of God. He made some things didn't always go so great for him. Amen. And let me tell you, if you study his life, you'll find out that when he was told he would suffer for Christ, let me tell you, he did. I mean, he really did. Amen. Now, you see, when God comes to you, puts destiny in your heart, puts purpose in your heart, what will happen is you will have zeal and passion, and the fire of the Spirit will come upon you, and you will be desperate to get out there. In fact, you'll be frustrated if you feel like you can't be, you know, you can't use what's been put in you. And it's good because you must use it. The key word here is practice, practice, practice. Practice out there everywhere you can, every opportunity you get. Use that passion, that zeal that you have. Speak to people. Begin to move. Begin to touch people's lives. Begin to speak into their lives. Begin to use what God has given you. Now let's go to Acts 13 and let me show you something. Now, if you study the book of Acts, between Acts 9 and Acts 13, there's a long time. I know this is a little different. Are you guys okay? I know it's not, you know, fire and stuff tonight, but, you know, next week. Amen? Okay. Acts 13, verse number 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called the Niger, Lucius the Syrian, Manoah, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Paul, Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, now watch, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. In other words, the word separate is a very powerful word. What it means is it means to be set apart, to be appointed. In other words, everything that God had prophesied and put in Saul and all the preparation over the 15 or 14 years that he'd been through, where things didn't go so well because he didn't follow necessarily the sequence of events that God had allotted for him. He gets to the point where he's finally with the church and they're busy praying and they're busy seeking God, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak and he says, now is the time. Now I want you to separate them. I want you to appoint them. Now I'm placing my anointing on them for the call and the destiny and the purpose that I have for them. But it didn't take one day or one month or 2 years or 3 years. It took many, many years of preparation. Now, we don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Now, listen, in this time, in this age that we're in right now, there's no doubt that there is an acceleration. I don't know how long it will take with you, with what God has for you. It may take 1 year, it may take 20 years, I don't know. The Holy Spirit is accelerating the church. And the reality is that the church is stepping into the season that I'm speaking to you right now about. Where you see, the church has been called to take the harvest. The church has been called to step into the fullness of what He has for us. The church has been called to fulfill all five gifts of Christ to the whole body of Christ, so that the church can be equipped to become the perfect man. Now, what I want to say to you is that prophetically, this is the season, this is the hour that we're stepping into right now, where God is about to appoint us, anoint us to step into the fullness of what He has for us corporately. Amen. Now, this is a little bit deep tonight. This is a little bit of kind of like steak. Amen. It's very interesting because I remember when the Lord spoke to me about planting the church. I was in Jensen Beach. I was praying. And while I was praying in my room, I had a vision. I mean, it was a vision. It wasn't like I didn't hear the voice of God. I had a vision. I actually saw the church, and I saw planting the church, and I knew it was Vero Beach. And I remember, I don't know how long it was. I don't know if it was 2 minutes or 2 hours. I can't tell you. I know I was praying for long, but I don't know how long the vision was. But the Lord spoke to me clearly in that vision about planting the church. I came out of my room and I went to my wife and said to her, listen, sweetheart, God has spoken to me in a vision. We're going to go plant a church in Vero Beach. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she said, no. God needs to speak to me too, and that's fine. Amen. And He did. Amen. With time, He did. Okay. Now, what's interesting is there's something I want to explain to you. The first thing I did was, even after having a kind of like, my wife wasn't too excited about it, it was immediately that I got confirmation from someone that's actually an intercessor in this church. She was an intercessor there, and she was one of my intercessors there, and she came with me. Amen. And she came to me and she said to me, like that day or the next day, I think it was either that day or the next day, I can't remember exactly. And she came to me and she said, the Lord spoke to me and He told me, I'm very sad because He told me you're leaving. Just like that. But what I did was, even though I had prophetic confirmation one after another, I mean, I had an incredible confirmation at the voice of the apostles, but there was one thing I needed. And I knew I wouldn't plant the church without this one thing. And that was I needed Pastor Harold to confirm the word that I had been given. So I phoned South Africa. I phoned him and I said to him, Pastor Harold, this is what God has said to me. And I know my pastor. He's not just going to say, well, go ahead and plant the church. But he immediately said to me, this is God, you must do it. Because you see, I needed to be sent out. And this is something that you need to catch. I needed to be set apart. I had the vision. God had spoken to me. But I needed the body of Christ. I needed the church. I needed to be sent. I needed to be appointed. I needed to be anointed for the task. You've got to understand, guys. Here's this South African dude from Jensen Beach that knows nobody in the city. I talk funny. I'm just different. Amen. I walk in the city, and the only way that I knew I would be able to do it was I needed to be sent out. You see, I needed a double appointment. I needed the Holy Spirit to speak, which He did. But I also needed to step in to what God had shown me He'd allotted for me. So I had to wait, like Saul. I had to wait for that moment where I would become separated, where God said, now I want you to step into what you've been waiting for. Now I want you to step into your destiny and your purpose. So when I stood here the first morning, I stepped on this pulpit and I stood here and I never felt alone for one second. And I'll tell you why. Because I was sent. I knew I was sent. You see, that's the problem with so many of us. We want to just move away from the body of Christ. What you don't understand is you need the body, because within the body are the gifts that bring grace to us to step into our destiny and our purpose. I know it's hard to understand. Amen. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then they went out and established the church. Corinthians, Ephesians, Thessalonians. This is when it all happened. Things really took off for Paul at this point. Why? Because the scholars will tell you that it's a double sending. It's like a double portion. It's the God speaking to you and then His body speaking to you and releasing you into what He has for you. The problem with us, and listen, I've been there, is that because of our fervency and passion and we feel the call inside of us, we don't want to wait for the time where God says, now is your time. So we move ahead of Him. We move away from Him. And that's when everything seems to just not go the way it's supposed to. And many don't ever get the promotion that they're supposed to have. Why? Because they haven't waited for the double appointment. Yes. Amen. Amen. And this is extremely important right now, at this moment, in the body of Christ, because God is about to anoint His church to step into a greater measure, into a greater anointing, into a greater portion of what He has and what He's been waiting to release on this planet since the beginning. Listen, you live in a time right now where God is about to pour out His Spirit. It's been prophesied by Joel, by Isaiah. It's been prophesied in this age as well. This is the season. This is the time. It's about to happen. The fact of the matter is that many of you have been waiting for this moment. You've been waiting for this time. You've been waiting for God to elect you, to consecrate you, to separate you for the task that He has for you. And I can tell you right now, it's got nothing to do with me as your pastor. It's got nothing to do with any pastor. It's got to do with the fact that this is the season where God is about to take you and give you a double portion of His Spirit to do what is necessary to bring in that harvest. Amen. Amen. First, the Spirit will confirm, and then the church will. It was at that moment, and I can tell you, I know how that feels. I can honestly tell you, I know how that feels. The interesting thing about my story, which is different to everyone else's story, is that I didn't go from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. I went from faith to a flop, from glory to the pit. It was going great for me, but I chose to step away from the measure of Christ's gift that God had allotted for me. You see, it's revelation to me because I've lived it. And when I stepped away, I could do what I liked. There was nothing. It was a dry and thirsty land. And then I went through all this stuff because God was sorting me out. And then I started serving again. Just serving. Never expected this to happen. I promise you, when God told me you're going to be a pastor, I said, what? I'll tell you why. Because I was confident I was going to be an evangelist. That's what I thought. I will be a traveling evangelist. I haven't told that to many people. That's what I believed. It was in my heart. Ursula and them know. I told them. But he prophesied it. But you see, so God was busy with me, getting me to where he wanted me to be to do this work, to get me to where he wants me to be to do the rest of what he has for me. Every single one of you have a destiny and a purpose. Wait. Don't wait to be used. Be used every day. Be used all the time. Let him use you in the mall. Let him use you in your business. Let him use you at school. Let him use you everywhere. Take every opportunity. That's what I used to do. I promise you, there was no coffee shop I would go to without ministering to somebody. I got kicked out of a coffee shop because I did deliverance in a coffee shop. I just, you know, once you start speaking and the Holy Spirit starts moving, it wasn't my fault. The demon manifested. What do you think I was going to do? Be used all the time. Practice. Begin to use the gift. Begin to be faithful with what he gives you. And then the day will come where he will set you apart to fulfill the destiny and purpose that he has for you. It's not too late. It's never too late. You wouldn't be here if it was too late. Amen. I know that tonight was different, and I normally just really want to get into things. I want to minister to you. But this word I had to release tonight because of the fact that we are stepping into a season where God is appointing his bride to step into this latter rain that we're about to do. And I prophesy it. I speak it over the church. I speak it over the church in Vero Beach. I speak it over the church in the United States. How can I do that? Because I hear his voice. I know his voice. I'm one of his sheep. And his word says, my sheep know my voice. And I hear him. And I know he's speaking this word right now to the body of Christ, not only in this church, but all across the nations of the world. Go ahead and prepare yourself, says the Lord, for this is a season where I will prepare you for what I have allotted for this generation. And it will be a great harvest. It will be a fine harvest. It will be a harvest of souls, the likes of which the church has never seen. Yes, they have never seen. I will fill the churches, even in this city. I will pack them full, says God. And I will move by my Spirit, says the Lord. And if they don't let me move, I will move outside the four walls of the church. I will move in the shopping centers. I will move in the business places. I will move in the schools, says the Lord. For this is the season and the hour that I have called my bride. I've called my bride to her rightful place, says God. And listen now, there is nothing the enemy can do about it. There is nothing the devil can do about it. Because it is the season, it is the time. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen and amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.